Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This part is really like the best of times that we have had in a long time. If you really think about it, we have all our teams in the playoffs, as we know. We've got playoff game after playoff game. Like, you can't hit last channel fast enough these nights. Last night, tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Like, this weekend is really building up. And then on top of it, we could be on the other side of this weekend on the verge of finally making it complete and getting an Aaron Rodgers trade done as the NFL draft is coming up next week. So, like, this is big times right now. There's a lot happening in sports, and it's all right here in the epicenter in New York City.
Yeah, man, it's the best of times and worst of times, right? I be thinking, like, you look at the Rangers and what they're doing to the Devils, like, yeah. So if you're a Ranger fan, you're happy about what's going on. And listen, the Garden's going to be lit this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The Garden's going to be lit every with day. Rangers and Knicks going waka flocka. Then we get to Sunday. We could come back Monday, and the Knicks would be on the brink of eliminating the Cavaliers.
Yeah. The Rangers could be done. Like, if you think about, like, again, all the things
that will be
ahead.
Done.
That's tough. What happened last time? I'll tell you what, the Sixers,
they played their hearts off.
They like ringing the bell, don't they? I mean, there's so much. And obviously tonight, look, if when you get Billy Joel to step aside because we need the building, Billy, and he's like, all right, I guess I'll have to sit this one out. Like, that shows you that there's some big stuff happening right now.
He's not doing
now.
Halftime. He ain't doing the anthem. He could do the anthem, or do halftime.
Well, Fat Joe's doing halftime tonight. Maybe we get Billy to do one of the intermissions of the Ranger game on Saturday. Wouldn't that be?
How about
that? If Billy Joel's like, you know what? I can't play Saturday night, but here's what I'll do. I'll entertain the folks first and second intermission.
He's the warm-up
just
show?
Pull out the piano.
He's a warmer show. They had a piano hooked up to the Zamboni.
He was going around in circles.
Hit donuts on the ice.
Sing us the song, you're the piano man. Right? He's on the Zamboni. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. And it started last night, the last game in the Rock, in the first two games. So you played last night in the Rock. The Nets in Brooklyn, and they took on the Sixers. That was actually an entertaining game. It was a wild one. I mean, there were moments in that day with flagrants. There were kicks to the groin, punches to the groin, technicals left and right. Like, that game was nuts.
It was not a lot of concern for prostate yesterday.
Right, exactly. Exactly. There was a lot of hitting the speed bag, if you know what I mean.
I don't know why Philadelphia thought it was good to ring the Liberty Bell yesterday.
No doubt. No. What would you if that were you? Was it Royce O'Neal, right?
Yeah.
If that was you, first of all, in football, has that ever happened to you? You ever get punched there, elbowed there?
Oh, like that, by mistake though. At practice, I hit somebody with R2L2.
Mm-hmm.
And he just put his hands up, and
how long did that take to recover from?
They had to come out and pump my legs. I thought it had went in my stomach. I thought one of my Liberty Bells had went into my stomach.
Phrasing?
They had to do the Heimlich maneuver on my lower abs to try and get it to resurface. It was like, where's Waldo?
That's right.
Like, I know it's there somewhere.
You had to get the bicycle pump, stick it in your belly button. And
yeah. Like, I couldn't have lost it. I can't lose it. It's no exit. It's got to be there somewhere.
It's stuck in there somewhere, damn it.
Find it.
It's like when your car keys fall in your car, like in between the seat. And you're like, I know it's in the car.
Yeah,
you just
man.
Just
got
to find it.
Yeah, man. But, you know, that was crazy. See, but, like, Nick Claxton, like, I would have forced the NBA to do something. Because, like, right now what we're doing is we're the instigator doesn't really get it, right? It's the reaction. But
right.
Nick Claxton's reaction was wacky deep. Because you let a dude upkick you that's laying there vulnerable with his face.
He tried to step over him like AI.
I get that. But still, when you kick me, stepping over and kicking me, you escalated it. So now I need to escalate it to another level, which is kicking you in the face. While you just sitting there kicking me in my balls, I'm going to kick you in your face because your face right there. Or I'm kicking you in your ribs for real, for real. Like, I don't know what type of dudes these dudes are, but you got a dude laying on the ground that upkicked you. I would have came down and punched him right in his face. It would have been hell to pay. I'd have punched him in his face, grabbed his afro so he couldn't get up, so I can control
just
his
drag
head.
Him around.
And I would have been punching him all up in his face. Like, that just
but
let
you
me know
for the
that Nick Claxton is – no, they would have had to force it. Because what's different – like, what's different from him kicking me and me hitting him? What's the difference?
Well, that, right?
And the fact that he missed is still intent.
I'll tell you the difference. Because this was – now, remember when I pointed out Tony Brothers, who I actually think is a pretty good referee, he was the crew chief last night. And he and Spencer Dinwiddie had some issues earlier in the year, right?
Yep.
So, all right. So there was a pool reporter that was sent in. AP had a guy go in to talk with the officials to get a response to the flagrant one that was called on Embiid. And then the flagrant two that was called on – actually, the flagrant two that was called on Harden.
No, flagrant one on Harden.
No, it was two. He got thrown out. No.
Harden got thrown out. Embiid didn't get thrown out
for that. So here's the the Embiid. Why was he giving a flagrant one for the kick? And Tony Brothers said the contact was deemed unnecessary, and based on the point of contact to the leg, it didn't rise to the level of excessive. So the question then is: so you deemed it not to go to a flagrant two? Based on where the contact
basically,
was.
Because Harden
because
hit center mass.
He did, right. Well, they're saying that Embiid, while he kicked, didn't kick him in the jimmy. So no. Tony Brothers said.
So my scrotum ain't important?
The point of contact dictated that it was only unnecessary contact, but not excessive. So, yes. So, one more question. The Harden one, where he got a flagrant two. So, yeah. Why was he given a flagrant two on Royce O'Neal? And Tony Brothers said, based on the point of contact directly to the groin,
okay.
It rose to the level of excessive and an ejection.
So why did Draymond Green get suspended? When somebody grabbed his
because
foot.
Because he stomped on a guy's chest.
Yeah, but the point of contact is, listen.
Because
I much rather get stomped in my chest than kicked in my giblets every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I think every man probably agree with that. If you're a man and you'd rather
my
be
ab,
kicked,
my ab,
kicked
my
in the
ab
groin
tip.
Than stepped on the chest, please call in.
Because
I need to know if there's a single man in the world that would prefer being kicked in the groin over being stomped on your chest.
And if that's the case, that's a dude that probably like bondage. He probably getting spanked and choked as well.
That. Safe word. 800-919-3776. Joel Embiid had a very interesting thing to say about why he felt he didn't get the flagrant two.
The whole game, you could see what they were doing, just trying to get a rise out of me. I'm too valuable, you know, especially after the first one. I just understood I'm too valuable to get into, you know, this type, you know, that's the second time, you know, hitting me in the back, that's not reviewed. My back, my knee, hitting me every single time, which is fine. You know, just got to keep going and, you know, you could see. You know, what the game plan was, got to hit them, got to make me frustrated so I could get ejected. I'm too mature to put myself in the position where I'm going to get ejected.
So you knew you were going to hit him in the rectum and not the giblets.
That was early. He said, after that, I knew, like, I'm too valuable. I can't have myself taken out of this game. So while they were doing stuff to him, he wasn't going to retaliate. And then Claxton, when he dunked on him, that's why Claxton got tossed. Because early in the game, they were jawing. They both got double techs, right? Mm-hmm. Then later on, Claxton dunks on him and gets in his grill. I think it was third quarter. Got in his grill.
He just looked at him. I can't get nobody to ice grill now.
No, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to stare anybody down anymore.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's a new thing. That's a thing now. So he had that going on. And so Embiid, like, looked away. And Claxton got a tech, and he got tossed. That was a big part of the game.
He hit it with the Caitlin Clark.
Now, later on, James Harden did what he did, and that one was – I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. The Embiid one looked way worse than the Harden one. Harden looked like he was just kind of doing the usual, put the arm bar up, and he happened to just catch him.
Nah.
You disagree.
That's the Chris Paul. If you look, his wrist is bent, knowing that he going to hit it.
You think when he was trying to hit him right there again?
Yes. That's to get up off me. let me act like I'm not doing it on purpose. You see Chris Paul. Well, Chris Paul do the uppercut, but Chris Paul does that too.
Trying it's to like pop the balloon?
It's like the push-off. And if you look, like if it's natural, right, if I'm just trying to get away from somebody, my hand is going to be open, right? His hand was still bent, hit it with the back of the wrist, right? Bop. Like, usually when you – if anybody do something, if somebody sit there and somebody say, oh, the police, and you get up, you go, ah, your hand's open, and you kind of push. He hit him with the back of the wrist because you make that wrist hard. You know what I'm saying? Hit him with the bop.
Boom. I understand. James Harden, though, did not believe it should have been called.
Unacceptable. Like, unacceptable flagrant, too. Like, the first time I've been ejected, I'm not labeled as a dirty player. You know what I mean? I didn't hit him in a private area. When somebody's draped on you like that defensively, it's just a natural basketball reaction. I didn't hit him hard enough for him to fall down like that. But for a flagrant, too, it's unacceptable. Like, this is a playoff game. You've seen around the league things that are much worse than what that play was.
Honestly, I don't even think any man knows you don't need to hit it that hard.
Any man knows you do not need to be hit that hard
in that area for it to hurt.
My kids have taken me down plenty of times. And what I remember, a tennis ball, not direct hit, bounce off the ground and up hit. Mm-hmm. And it's, listen, when I talk about a delayed reaction, it's like when you fall at the park and you playing with everybody and, like, you look up and it's that little white part and you looking and the blood ain't came yet. It's like that strawberry coming and you looking and it don't take much, man. And the older you get, the less it take, because the more they hang. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
And I'm telling you what, man,
the more it definitely hurts.
That thing hits you right in your navel. When it hits you your navel, you feel your navel ringing.
Right. For women who might be listening, just understand it is a pain that starts in one area and then slowly resonates upward.
It hits all your nerve endings.
It makes you nauseous.
Yes.
Right?
You can throw up from that.
Oh, no doubt. So that was a weird game, but they end up winning because Embiid makes an incredible block on Dinwiddie with 10 seconds to go. Then they get a steal. They up there. Tyrese Maxey has a 10-point streak, goes off suddenly in clutch. Just bang, bang, bang. Next thing you know, Nets look like they were in sort of in control, like they could pull this out. Then next thing you know, Maxey just says nope. Shuts the door, then Embiid gets the block, and then the Nets still have a chance down three with a few seconds left, and they have a mistake, just total just botch of the inbounds where one guy zigs, the other guy zags, and that's the end of the game's over at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, wow. So that game goes that way. The Rangers, I mean, what more does Chris Kreider is just on a heater right now.
Yeah, he is.
He's in front. The Devils can't clear him out of the front of the net, and it's easier said than done. He's strong. His hand-eye coordination is off the charts good.
The dude just redirecting mid-air shots.
Yeah, it's amazing. Defensemen love playing with a guy like that because I'm just throwing it at the net. You tip it in, I get a point.
Yep.
Like, you love playing. So he's been amazing. They can't get him out of the front of the net. The power play's been on fire. And the Rangers once again put five. I mean, they just dominate that. Up 2-0 going home now to the Garden for a game on Saturday night. And so it's going to be special. It's going to be special at the Garden, no doubt about that. And tonight you have the Knicks. The Knicks and the Cavs game three. It's 8:30 is the tip-off. And the full coverage on MSG begins at 7:30. We got an hour pregame show for
back.
You. Fat Joe's performing at halftime.
He's going to lean back.
He's leaning back.
He got a new song out. Oh, he got a Knicks song out, right?
He does?
I thought he had a Knicks song that he
did
made.
I didn't even know if he did or not.
Yeah, because they teased it on
Dougie
ESPN.
Fresh also performing as well.
You
gotta love it. But I know that. Here's the thing. I know there's going to be a lot of angst. Now, just for everybody to know, I'm doing a podcast. We call it the Knicks Fix Podcast. I'm doing for
Shucky Ducky.
Yeah, right. You can find it on the app on the ESPN
New
York
you got,
app.
Good job you got, eh?
Let's just say I'm doing this graciously.
Yeah,
this is a gift.
Are you Jamaican?
This is definitely a gift.
Hey, man. You a hey, man?
Giving it to the people. Yes, I am a hey, man.
Hey,
you know
man.
That. You know how I roll
tree
like that.
Jobs. You no good lazy bum.
You lazy bum.
I did the Knicks. I did the Jets. I did the Patriots.
But that just episode 2 just dropped, so you can get that ESPN New York app. I did share it on social media. But anyways, there's a bit of anxiety about this game, and I completely understand it, Bart, because the Garden is a special place, but as I've said before, it's special for everybody.
For everybody, yeah.
And what you don't want is for Donovan Mitchell to be the next villain, to be the next guest to come in and take it over as his personal stage.
No 50 burgers.
No, come on.
But if he gets a 50 burger, but if he gets a 50 burger and Garland is shut out, would you take that?
I'll tell you what. Donovan Mitchell goes for 50, but you still win the game. Are you okay with that? Of course you are. Because in the end, all that matters is the win, right?
Yeah, nobody cares about records made in the
Who
loss.
Who cares if he – I don't care if he scores 70 and you win. The end you win part is the only thing I'm on board for tonight. Because going up 2-1, that's critical. The pivotal game three. Pivotal game three. Mm.
Now, you know they got the record of a 75% of who you win game one. What game about one, right. game three? Is it game three or game five that's the one that's the nail breaker?
Well, all the odd number games are really the critical games in a seven-game series because they're all the ones that you would, you know, like you could take the lead. You know, it's 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, and obviously game seven, you win the damn series. So those are the most important if you ask me. But this is one of those take back control of the series. Think about this for home court. Of the final five games left in this series, potentially, three of them are at the Garden. So three of the five are home games for you. Now you got to take care of business at home. But I'm telling you, Bart, it's going to be some anxiety. I just feel like that's a reality because in the past, Knicks fans, you know, with other teams, you had a trust factor because you knew, like, every year, year after year, these were good teams that there were opponents you would play. Like, man, we're better than them. Like, the Charlotte Hornets would come in the first round. You're like, we're gonna wipe the floor up with these guys.
Yeah, come on.
Like, there were certain teams you just knew.
Dale Curry.
They ain't beating us. But the anxiety comes when you're in a series like this where you know, like, we could beat them, but will we? And you're waiting to see. So I think there's a huge trust factor that doesn't exist yet between the fan base and this Knicks team. And the Knicks have to be ready for it. There's no doubt about it. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark and Syosset to start us off today on the calls. What's up, Mark?
Alan, I should say Dr. Han. I've been waiting to call all week. I'm stressed. You feel me, man? I want to talk about the Knicks. And I think the number one thing for me is what do we need to look for tonight to feel really confident like we did before the series started? I know what I'm going to get from Jalen Brunson, from Julius Randle, from Josh Hart. Even when they're not great, they're still good enough for us to win games. The three guys I'm looking at are RJ, Quickly, yep. and Grimes. And truthfully, I'm going to give Quickly and Grimes a little bit of a pass here. For RJ, this is the biggest game of his career. He has, and if he's listening or if he can tune in at some point, I have a message for you, brother. This is your opportunity to write the script, right? Your legacy that you leave in New York could be based on what you do tonight. I don't care if you drop 30, but you've got to be on the floor. Every 50-50 ball has to be yours. You have to have confidence, and you have to look like somebody who is worth the bag that they got. Because right now, you look lost and ready to move on.
You got to be Kevon Looney.
I love all that, Mark. Mark, everything you said there, I'm in complete agreement with. That's a fantastic take because, you know what? He could still be 2 for 12, but if he's 2 for 12 and he's got floor burns – and he's like, you could just see that he's exhausted at the end of the game because he gave it all, emptied the tank. I can live with, like, all right, so you're still in a shooting slump, but boy, you did a whole bunch of other things.
I mean, we've seen this, right?
We've applauded
Russell Westbrook and what he's been able to do and his impact on the game, whether he's shooting well or not, right? Yeah. At this point, nobody cares about the statistics. They care about the impact. You can still have impact without having points on the board. Look at Looney last night, baby. That was a clinic. That was like, listen – and we made fun of Looney and stuff, how he was getting caught up in the pick and roll.
Yep.
Listen, he got better. Is he ever going to be perfect? No. But he was on them 50-50 balls. Fleet of foot.
But what do you do when you have that? All right, so we know that you're a detriment on this side, so we now have to make you an asset somewhere else.
Yep.
And then we can make up the difference, right? That's basically what it is. All right, so you're a minus 10 over here. I got to make you a plus 12 over here. And then we're up by two. That's what I got to do with you. And so that's what you do with effort. Because, okay, my shot's not falling. I'm not making – I mean, RJ Barrett's not making wide open threes. Never mind contested. He's not making wide open threes. That's a problem. So if I'm still not on with my shooting, instead of getting down, All right, what else can I do? Well, if I see a 50-50 ball, I'm diving for it. If I see a ball heading out of bounds and it's ours and I got to get, I'm jumping over the first row to get it. I'm doing whatever it takes to win because that's when the crowd gets behind you.
Yeah,
and you'd be amazed how all of a sudden a shooting slump can go away with plays like that.
Don't give me the fake one, though. Don't give me the fake dive into the thing when you know there's no way in hell you can get it.
Like don't when
give
Roger me that, Dorn that, tried yeah. to slide that one time. He's like, right? Yeah. He told him to take the pitch. Ow.
Hey, Dorn, this guy used to pitch you inside. Go lean into one.
He gets hit. He's like, ow. Arsenio's in the call. Arsenio feeling anxiety tonight. What's up, man?
How are you, man? I got those pregame jitters. I feel it in my stomach, in my chest. Uh-huh. I'll be at the Garden tonight.
Nice.
I was there yesterday. I was going to dinner in the city, and I went into the city, and I went in through Penn Station. And just walking around, I was already bracing myself. But I got the pregame jitters, guys. I got them.
What time is the what do we call it when you go before the game in football?
What, like warm-ups?
The tailgate?
No. The tailgate. When is the tailgate?
Tailgate.
I expect y'all to be drinking on that street where they're doing the construction in the back at least by like 5:30.
I want to go through stuff.
I'm on lunch right now, and I'm about to take a sip just to bring down the anxiety.
get Arsenio some THC,
feeling it.
Hey, somebody get him some CBD gummies or something.
Just,
man.
Just calm him down a little bit? No, I think you got to jack it up. The building has to be jacked up. Arsenio, we will see you tonight, my man. Like Bart, I'm telling you, man, you guys don't understand this as athletes because you guys are the confident ones. You have the irrational confidence. You walk in and you're just like, all right, I'm going to kick that ass. Like, that's how you feel. And you have to understand that fans, we want to feel that way too. But we can't control it. So the thing that bothers me a lot of times, long ago when my athletic career ended, is I can't control any of this. I hate this. Because I always know, like, if you're playing, I can control it. But I never got nervous before a game. But I sure as hell can get nervous before games like this. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I want to believe that Randall's going to have a strong game. Brunson's going to get back on track. RJ's going to figure it out. Mitchell Robinson's going to play like a beast. The Garden's going to be rocking. It's going to be fun. The Cavs are going to be overwhelmed by the atmosphere. That's all the stuff I want to believe. But deep down, I don't know. Because I don't have enough trust in this group.
Yeah.
To know, I haven't seen this. Not enough of that. Right. I love the confidence comes from demonstrated performance.
Yeah.
I don't have enough of that built in with this group because the last thing I remember from them in the playoffs is it did not go well. They did not adjust, and they were out in five games.
Yeah, no sweat equity, right? We knew that the Warriors yesterday was going to show up with Draymond or not. They were going to play with that sense of desperation. And it's one of those things you don't know. And like – it's tough. This is a group that's just really been together. I know that RJ, Brunson. I'm saying the new core, just kind of been together. Like, is somebody gonna try and play hero ball? Like, are they gonna play within themselves? Is Brunson gonna play too much one on one? Is Julius Randle want to play isolation ball?
Is the Cavs defense that they had going on in that second game? Is that going to be something like the Hawks defense in the series 2 years ago that the Knicks could never solve?
Yeah.
Like, is it once again a team figured us out and we can't solve the problem? That's something that you're watching and wondering, all right, Tibbs, where's the adjustment? How are we going to break this thing that they think that they got on the team? Because you remember with the Hawks, Nate McMillan was like, this is what we're going to do to Randall. We're going to do it all series, and we're going to shut him down. And they absolutely shut him down. Well, they just figured something out with Jalen Brunson that worked in game two. Is that now going to be this next thing? Like, not able to turn this thing around? That is the fear. And that's why, to me, the key tonight is that first quarter. If the first quarter, you don't – like, the Knicks get out, and they hit some buckets and they get a little momentum. And you could see that whatever the Cavs did defensively, that ain't working tonight. They got that figured out. Then I'll feel better. But if that first quarter and you see Brunson still getting trapped and struggling to kick it, they got 8 turnovers. Like, if that's going to happen again, that building is going to go from raucous to nervous in minutes. And when it gets nervous, That's a different kind of feel that is impossible to shake. Everyone feels it, including the players. That's what makes this so compelling tonight. Big weekend here in New York City.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Power shower. I took a power shower.
Power weekend, baby. I mean, there's a lot going on this weekend.
Yes.
It's a lot, man.
And I ain't even talking about the fight, son. I saw my arm, Mike Tyson, talking about the fight, B.
Did you see, like, are they threatening to break each other's jaws? Like, did you see that?
Well, yeah. Well, he said when I touch you, you know, because Ryan Garcia is a taller fighter. Mm-hmm. He's pretty fast. And Tank gets hit, but Tank takes one to get one type of thing. And he probably has the lowest output of any boxer. He only throwing like 17 punches a round. He's mm-hmm. methodical, but then when he opens up, he come touch you, but he warms up slow. Garcia got fast hands. If he fights tall, Tank's going to have to take some to get inside. But Tank's a great counterpuncher. And, you know, we don't know how strong Garcia's jaw is. We've seen him get dropped. Now he went and dropped the guy with a body shot right after that. He had this crazy left hook, man. Oddly enough, my college teammate trains him, Ryan Garcia.
Oh, your college teammate?
Yeah, trains him.
Nice.
Yup. He trains him. So, you know what I mean? It's all good. So, I still going for Tank because he's from B-more, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that part doesn't matter, but I love any type of trash talk before builds up to it.
But this, great. But this has to be explosive because their styles make it explosive. Now, I'm mm-hmm. sure it's going to be a filling out process, but Ryan's going to have to get on his stick early to push Tank. He can't allow Tank to kind of chill and kind of work his way in and not burn any energy because he can't fight at his pace, so he's going to have to push the pace. And to push the pace, he's going to have to try and touch Tank, and whenever you try and touch Tank – it's always that opportunity to be explosive.
So that's Saturday night, right? Saturday night, there's that. It's just like a busy night. Busy weekend. And last night, so the Warriors stay alive if they don't go down 3-0. They win game three last night without Draymond Green, and Steph Curry looked like Steph Curry. I mean, he just was unbelievable. So they get the win. And then how about the Clippers? You find out right before the game that Kawhi Leonard now can't play. And
pivotal game, like being able to go up 2-1. And listen, this was a close game for a long time.
Is that the thing with Kawhi? Like, you know, that's the part to me when it comes to Kawhi Leonard that as much as when he plays, you're reminded how great he is. It's like at any moment, he could just be like, yeah, I can't play.
Yeah, and it ain't no, I'm a play. Well, they say he heard it in the first game and he played through it on the second game.
Yeah.
And now, it's just barking too much on third game. Now, they say it's a sprained knee.
Sprained knee. It has nothing to do with the ACL that he tore that kept him out all last year. But it's just sprained. They probably want to just take care of it. And I remember Paul George also dealing with the sprained knee, and he's out for the whole series. So, for the Clippers, the availability part of this thing has always been the risk. All right, let's get some more perspective on that and more from our friend Tim Bontemps, our ESPN NBA insider who joins us right now.
I feel like that should be a T or something. That's the perfect name for a product, man. We need some product placement for that last name, son.
For Bontemps, you like that?
That's too
what kind of product?
You know what I'm saying? We Bontemps, I don't know. What is that? It's like bonbons on the tip. I don't know what on the stick. We need something.
Bontemps does sound like a good chocolate. Like if you put together like a chocolateer, like you call it Bontemps Chocolateer.
But hazelnut Bontemps.
You guys want to make me some money? I'm down for that.
Hazelnut Bontemps.
Hazelnut Bontemps. So Tim, you just come fresh from the Cavs shoot around at the Garden. So what's the set? We just got a ton of calls from Nick fans who are nervous. There's like an anxiety, an anxiousness, a anticipation for this game because, we've always said it, home court advantage is great for everybody, but it's different because Madison Square Garden tends to not really be that. Do the Cavs look at it that way? Like, what's the sense you're getting from them going into this game tonight?
I mean, the Cavs are ready for battle, I would say, right? Like, this is going to be a juiced-up crowd, first home game for full-capacity fans in the playoffs in 10 years, 8:30 on a Friday night. Like, this has all the makings of being a pretty intense atmosphere. And look, you go back to the first two games of this series, right, fellas? I mean, this is going to be a Heat-Knicks kind of series, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are going to be physical, hard-fought, competitive games. And, you know, I think the Cavs are ready for all of that and then some in Game 3. And like you said, Al, I mean, everybody gets up for playing at the Garden. Certainly Donovan Mitchell, the guy who's from the area, has a lot of ties here, certainly is, I'm sure, going to be ready to go playing tonight. But, you know, I think more than anything, it's going to be a ton of energy and emotion in the building on a lot of fronts. And it's going to be very interesting to see not only how the Cavs handle, but to your point, how the Knicks do as well. Because, you know, there's sometimes that energy and emotion can work both ways. Sometimes it's a real positive thing, and other times it's not so much.
And that's where I want us to go, because who's the pressure on? Because I think that the Knicks thought that all they had to do was win, take one in Cleveland. But then again, you know, how deflating would it be if Cleveland comes and goes to your house where you're supposed to be this super team, riding the energy wave, and a drop one? And, you know, what pressure would that add to Sunday's game?
I mean, I think, Bart, to be honest, this series is on such a knife's edge coming into it that I don't think there's a side that there's really more pressure on either way, right? I mean, coming into the series, there was nobody who thought it was going to be anything less than six games, and a lot of people thought it was going to be seven. And when you have a series that's that close, like, every game really matters in the end. And, you know, so I mean, look, the Knicks have certainly not been a very good home team this year compared to others around the league. That's the reason why the Knicks are not hosting this series. They were a really good road team. They were not so good at the Garden, coughed up a lot of leads, lost a lot of games they could have won. Maybe they'd have had home court advantage in this series. But instead, they had to go on the road, get home court advantage back, like you said. Now they got to take care of business tonight. And, you know, to your point, with the quick turnaround to Sunday's game, I do think there is a little bit of added emphasis on tonight, because you're either going to get a big boost psychologically for getting this one and going up 2-1 in the series, or you're going to have a pretty big psychological letdown if you go into this one, let it slip, and then you got to turn around in 36 hours to play Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tim, because you think about it, right? You wake up Monday, and all of a sudden you could be down, you know, you could be down 3-1 in the series. Just blink your eye, like, whoa, what just happened? You know, so that's what I do agree with you. What makes tonight so important? We're talking with Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA insider. Tim, last night in Brooklyn, so because it's a wild weekend in New York, a lot going on. The basketball teams all playing home games in the playoffs. You got the Rangers playing in their series with the Devils, the Islanders tonight at UBS Arena. Busy, busy time. But last night really started it off, and that game was crazy with the kicks and the flagrants, technicals all over the map.
Yep.
What do you make of Embiid's kick? Was not a two. Harden's elbow or wrist, whatever it was a two, and all the things said after it.
I mean, look, I think it just – when we're talking this much about the officiating, I think we can all agree it's bad, right? Yep. We don't want to be talking about the officiating. The fact we're having all these conversations about all the officiating this week is a bad thing. As far as last night goes, look, I thought the Embiid foul was going to be a flagrant one before they announced it, just because – whatever his intent was, and I think we all can have our own opinions on what his intent was, he didn't really hit Claxton on the play, right? He kind of caught him on the back of the leg. Whether he was trying to do that or not is up for interpretation. I think it's maybe charitable to say. But at the end of the day, because he didn't really connect, I thought it was going to be a flagrant one. If you told me he got ejected for that, I wouldn't have been stunned, right? I've maybe never been more surprised by a call in my time covering the league then James Harden get ejected for that play in the third quarter. Nobody on press row thought he was going to get ejected. I was stunned he got ejected. I thought that was a wild call. And, you know, I think more than anything, guys, we've gotten to a point where it's really become in the best interest of these players to try to sell getting these reviews as much as possible, because, A, flagrant foul points add up during the playoffs. Now Harden's 2 points away from a suspension. And Embiid is 3. And beyond that, as you guys both know, flagrant fouls, 2 shots in the ball. Like, that's a – and especially in tight playoff games, that could be a 5-point possession one way or the other, which could decide a game, especially a game like last night that's a one possession game with, you know, 10 seconds to go with the Nets having the ball. So, you know, I am going to be curious to see if that has some ripple effects as the playoffs go along. But more than anything else, between last night and the Draymond stuff, there's just been too much talk about the referees this week. And when, you know, as any good ref will tell you, if you're talking about the refs, it tends to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I wanted to go, because, you know, we're looking for consistency and continuity between the officiating,
yep,
which is different, which is tough because you got different crews, different philosophies, and different scenarios. But how about consistency and continuity, or consistency from the office? Now, how can Joe Dumars look at what Joel right. Embiid tried to do and not see that that's in the same arena? Maybe not the intent, because he didn't go and heckle the crowd, but that shouldn't matter, right? But the fact is,
right,
he put his foot, he tried to violently kick, and whether he hit on he hit or didn't hit, it's not too much different to me from the Draymond Green situation.
Well, look, at the end of the day, if you look at what happened with Draymond, Bart, what did the league say? The league said that his past behavior is why they suspended him, right? It wasn't about the act in the end. So, you know, that's the thing with this whole week. I think, to your point in general, as you said before, how about consistency from the league? Like, that's really the problem here, right, in general, is that there's just been a lot of inconsistency from the league over the past couple of days as far as how these calls are officiated. And, right, you know, other than Nick Claxton getting ejected last night, which was the easiest ejection of all time, I don't care if you don't like the fact that guys can't mean mug after a dunk like that, but that's, like, unequivocally in the rules a technical foul in today's league, right? So for Nick Claxton to do that in that moment was just a ridiculous move on his part, given the stakes of the game and the fact that the Nets were up and they were playing well and he was playing well, and they have nobody else to really even attempt to guard Embiid in the series. But other than that, like, again, the Harden and Embiid plays, nobody was happy with either one. And then that doesn't even begin to describe the whole situation with Draymond, which, right, whether you believe he deserved to be suspended or not, there was hardly anybody, if anybody, who was clamoring for him to be suspended. And then the right. league says not only is he suspended, it's really because of his past behavior, which had never really factored into decision-making before. So
right.
It's safe to say for the first round, this whole thing is messy, and it doesn't bode well for the next 6 weeks as the stakes only get higher as the playoffs go along.
And where the Draymond stuff kind of makes me crazy is that if that's the case, past history, then – why did Cuban only get fined $500,000 when he's had workplace issues?
He did it before.
Man, what are we talking about? You're talking about signing your butt.
Listen, it's a great question, Bart. It's a great question. And past history, you know, they fined the Mavericks $600,000 when Cuban sort of openly talked about tanking in the Luka draft, which was in 2018, right? And then they fined him $750,000 for tanking the game a couple weeks ago, right? Like, why didn't they fine him more than that? Like, why was it only that much more, right? Like, again, this is the whole can of worms that the league has opened up with all of this stuff. And again, like I said, we're halfway through the first round of the playoffs. Not even, right? We're a third of the way through the first round of the playoffs. And we've already got all these various inconsistencies and controversies, and we haven't even gotten to the second weekend yet. So it does not bode well for there not being more of these things as the playoffs go along, when, as you guys know, the stakes are only going to get higher and the emotions are only going to get higher and the importance of the games is only going to grow. So I think we're in for a wild ride over the next couple of months.
Now, I'll tell you what, Tim, too, I'd watch tonight's game at the Garden. I would watch that closely as well after what happened at the end of game two and some of the things that were said, especially from J.B. Bickerstaff about how, oh, that shouldn't have been a flagrant. We're going to play that way. We're just playing hard. I imagine.
Well, and again, to your point, Alan, you're talking about a supercharged environment, right? Going to be the fan energy is going to be off the charts. Mm-hmm. And to go back to what we talked about at the beginning, this series is going to be a rock fight.
Yep.
Like, these are two defensive teams that don't score a lot that are going to be fighting and scratching and clawing for every point. And when you're playing games like that and the game is going to be that much more physical, you're only going to have more possibilities for things like this to happen. And look, if you told me that we wake up tomorrow and the back page of my old paper, the New York Post, is something about a referee controversy, like, it's certainly a very plausible outcome based off of, like you said, how the end of game two went and the nature of the past couple days and the nature of what both tonight and this series should look like.
Yeah, we certainly shall see. But the excitement is definitely there. And, you know, that's why we have you on. You were there last night. Be there tonight as well. I look forward to seeing you, Tim. Thanks so much, as always.
Anytime, Alan. Thanks, Bart. Talk to you guys soon.
Hazelnut right. Bun Tips coming to a store near you, baby.
Yeah, man. Tim Bontemps, again, ESPN NBA insider, and he's been at all these games. I mean, it's the perfect place for him because Philly's not a far ride. He can do that series. He could be here, and now you got all these games this weekend.
Get the 2-for-1.
And I'll tell you what, that's one thing I'm telling you to watch, the officiating tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We got some fun stuff to do coming up. One of my first sports idols is joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. You're not excited about that at all, are you? No reaction?
Oh, no. This is your time to shine. This is like when I had Isaiah Thomas on.
Exactly. Like, this motivated me, like, as a sports fan and then to want to be an athlete. Just watching this guy play, I was like, "Yeah, I want to be like that."
You believe in miracles?
No, that was.
I know that. I know that. But after that, that's when they came on and went on their run. That's what I'm saying. Come on, man. I know you. Stop it.
Okay. All right. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's take Nate in Jersey. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Good.
Guru Matado.
Good. So remember, I was the guy yesterday who called in about the Rangers, and then I also had the Garden moment that I wanted to talk about, too.
Yeah, that's right. Bart cut you off.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even have a button. First of all, Nate, Bart, I don't even got no buttons. I ain't even got no buttons. I just try not to yarn.
Don't yarn. Okay, sorry. So what was the Garden moment you wanted to share?
Okay, so when I was in, like, sixth grade, my school took us to, you know, my class took us to New York for like a tour and stuff like that. And it was great. And one of the stops we had there was at the Garden. And, you know, we walk in and it's really surreal. You know, most people have been there already at that time. You know, I had gone to games before. We're walking past the hallways, there's all these pictures of Messier with the cup and, you know, the Larry Johnson shot, et cetera, et cetera. When you walk into the Garden itself, right, you know, you see the blue seats, the purple seats. Mm-hmm. There's no hardwood floor. There's no ice, anything. That's just the floor. Mm-hmm. So we go running down, me and a bunch of my friends, and we're, you know, reenacting the Matogo, and, we're doing all these fun things. And, you know, after that, I kind of just like moved back, and I'm looking up. And I'm looking up at all the banners and all the retired numbers. And you see Messier, Richter, Leach, you know, Willis Reed, Walt Frazier. And I'm like, holy, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is insane. You know, like, you know, you kind of like real, you understand where you are at that moment. It's like,
it's amazing.
You know, you're in the same dressing room, as Gretzky. And it's like, holy cow. And at that moment, like, you're officially a fan, like, at that moment. You know what I mean?
Like, really what you fun. Do, here's the thing. When you walk into the Garden and it's quiet, like, I still hear. Even in the most quiet moment, that's all that rings in my ear. Because that's when you look at that ceiling, that's all you think of. That's all you feel. That's all you hear.
See, but I think about, I know you got him. I know you picked him. But all you going to bow? I'm the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
I think about those type of things when it was about boxing.
I hear you. I think about Sinatra.
No, you think about all that stuff. No, you chumps got him.
What a weekend. What a weekend it's going to be. But you know what? The Rangers, they play Saturday. Like it's not just the Knicks tonight. It's the Rangers. Knicks and Rangers. When you have this time of year, go outside right now. You know how nice it is. It feels good. The sun is out, all that stuff. This time of year, when every other night, it's like Knicks, then the Rangers, then the Knicks, then the Rangers. Like, that is – you talk about nostalgia. That's what brings it all back. That's what makes it, to me, like, that's what makes it the most memorable, like, brings you back to when you were a kid and all that stuff. That's what makes this all exciting. The heartbeat of sports in New York, right there. In Midtown Manhattan.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.